are tuned in to the Wisco Weekly Experience.
Chicken brown, chicken brown cow.
Listeners, welcome to another episode of Wisco Weekly. Thanks for tuning in. This is a special episode as the LA Auto Show is going on. And if you are in the car world, the automotive world, the transportation world, then all eyes and ears should be on this event. The LA Auto Show is going on from November 30th until December 9th at the LA Convention Center. General admission tickets start at $12, although I think it increased to $15, but double check that. Seniors are $10 and children between ages 6 and 12 are $5. Check out laautoshow.com for more details. Hours include 9 to 10, sometimes 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. So again, check out laautoshow.com for exact hours. And be sure to follow some of the popular hashtags like hashtag LA Auto Show, hashtag LA Auto Show 2018, hashtag LAAS 2018 and thereabouts. Let's get on to today's guest. Today's guest is part of a counterculture. They usually wake up early on weekends to leave their wives and children behind so they can play with the boys and their toys. When they visit a dealer, they often test sales staff on their knowledge of their vehicles. When they service their car with a dealer, if you're a service advisor, you better ensure there are no dried water spots on that car. Yes, they are automotive enthusiasts, in quotations. They are also more than that. They are gearheads, grease monkeys, car junkies. They have gasoline in their blood, and not that weak-ass 91-octane stuff. We're talking about 100-octane racing fuel. Albert Rojas was born a car nut. In the last 24 years, he has cycled through 23 cars. His first car was a 1992 Honda Civic. After that, a 92 Acura Integra. Then a 93 Toyota MR2. Before there was JDM, he was JDM. He's toyed with BMW M5s. Yes, that's plural. Porsche 911s. Yes, that's plural. And exotics like an Audi R8, a Lamborghini Gallardo, a BMW i8. But he's not that snobbish. He's owned a Prius, an FJ Cruiser, and also the extinct Scion XB. If it has four wheels, a tranny, and a steering wheel, well, then he'll upgrade the wheels, he'll blow the tranny, and he'll modify the steering wheel, or he'll just trade it into a dealer and call it excellent. Here to provide an audible tour of this year's LA Auto Show, please welcome to the show Mr. Albert Rojas.
Thanks for having me, Dennis. Appreciate it.
That was quite the introduction.
That was very melancholy, especially after that introduction. Well,
lot to live up to there.
Well, Albert, so you attended the LA Auto Show, especially during press days. So you actually had more exclusive access to the show as opposed to when the general public goes in there and they're going to be crowded by one another. And so they won't really get to experience all the cars as you will. So I guess first off, before we get into the auto show, Albert, how can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Albert, at Albert Rojas, A-L-B-E-R-T-R-O-X-A-S. Yeah, I also have a webpage, albertrojas.com, and I have an upcoming YouTube channel, or so say all my friends. So hope to get that trailer out before the end of the year.
Look at that teaser. So Albert, in talking about the LA Auto Show, I thought that this was one of the better years of the LA Auto Show. You can obviously disagree with me on that one. But nonetheless, it's especially unique to hear from an enthusiast or a car junkie about what goes on at the LA Auto Show. You certainly have a level of knowledge about mechanics and car history that I do not possess. So therefore, it is going to be really good to get this tour from you so that as everybody, if they're lucky enough to get to the LA Auto Show, they'll get to see some of the things through your eyes. And if they don't get to go, well, then they'll get to experience it and live it through this episode here. So I thought one of the first things we can get to is you've attended this auto show for so many years now. Let's be pessimistic. What was one of the bigger disappointments for you?
You know, the there's a lot of, with every auto show, you'll find some good, some bad, obviously. And I'm there for a particular segment. You know, there's something I'm looking for anytime I go. And I guess to point one thing out, which is funny because I think we had mentioned earlier, you actually like this, was the Mercedes-Benz GTR Pro. Mm. So they had that release this year, and I know you're sort of a car dude, but you know, for hardcore car guys like you just mentioned for me.
Yeah. So again, if anything, like, you know, let's even back up one step. I almost think it's important to understand that, like, there's a broader term of automotive enthusiasts, which you and I both belong to. However, then there starts to be segmented populations of that. As you start getting to gearheads and enthusiast or and car junkies and grease monkeys, like, that's where I start to differ a little bit. But that's where you specialize, because again, you know this stuff more so than I do. In terms of modifications to a car, I couldn't tell you how to modify an air filter, but I'm sure you'd be like, air filter, that's like basic 101.
Fair enough. No, absolutely. Even on that side, I'm probably on me and my friends are on the extreme side of even that, let's say. But
sorry.
No. But you know, the to go back to it, the GTR Pro, everyone was sort of really high on that. It was supposed to be one of Mercedes' greatest. Actually, it is, you know, it, one of its greatest hits currently. But from an enthusiast standpoint, for me at least, just everything wasn't really there for it. We can get into a little bit if you want as we go around sort of the walkthrough of the show itself.
Well, let's get into it right now. So, I mean, why for you was that GTR a disappointment?
No additional horsepower, no additional, everything was aero. It looks a lot similar to the current GTR.
Was it replacing?
It's not replacing, it's an additional package from what I understand, limited run. I don't even want to say it in the same sentence as the Club Sport that was released for Porsche, but in the same essence. Mm. That is sort of what Mercedes wanted to put out for this for the show.
Mm. And with the Mercedes booth area there too, they had some other cars there that desert sand beige G Class.
Yes, the G Class was a very, that's a nice way of putting it. For my friends and I have a sort of an X-rated color for that. X-rated name for that color per se, but yeah, desert sand is a nice way of putting it. You notice it's a skin color as well.
Let's go with nude.
Yeah, there you go. But you know, the new G-Wagon, as someone who, you know, that's sort of it's something that I'm interested in as far as a dad, as far as living in South Orange County, right? It's the prototypical, this is what
first world problems, right?
It's something that you see a lot of. So this latest version, the rebuild of it, if you will, adds a lot of new luxuries that the original G-Wagon that hasn't been unchanged forever now, a lot of the Orange County moms that everybody really want, you know, the touch screens, or I'm sorry, the LCD screens, a lot of luxuries that, you know, the initial G-Class wasn't designed for. Better drivability, still has all the off-road function, if you will, but overall a much more luxurious and urban drivable vehicle.
Hmm. So the GTR for you was the biggest disappointment. Well, so on the flip side of it, tell me what, you know, give me one of the more memorable or bigger highlights of the auto show for you.
You know, I want to go with the, obviously the 992 release. Everyone was really interested in that. That's a huge,
Is that obvious?
It's obvious because it's the latest generation. Porsche's hot right now, right? And everyone's really getting into the air cooled. A lot of the aftermarket itself or the people that are into cars, Porsche's just, you know, on fire. Mm. So the 992 release, for a lot of us was very intriguing. We wanted to see what was going on there. Porsche Experience Center LA had their initial release, I believe the night before, and had this huge event to get that going.
I'm not going to lie. So I was at the Porsche press conference and was there like 45 minutes early. So I got front row. But my reasons for being there, again, this is kind of where we differ in terms of being an enthusiast. My reasons for being there front row so early and waiting around was I was really hoping Maria Sharapova was going to be there.
She was the night before.
At the Experience Center.
At the Experience Center.
Well, and she was there. She was last year.
She was there with
Mark Webber.
Yeah, Mark Webber. Okay. I was going to say Patrick Dempsey.
Oh, last year.
Yeah, it might have been. I was going to call him McDreamy because I know that's...
That's part of it. Well, no, I mean, I know this year she was at the Porsche Experience Center the day before. That was on Tuesday when it debuted over there. And I was hoping she was going to be there on Wednesday, but she was not. Because last year when I was at the auto show, she was there, but I was not at... She was at Porsche and I was somewhere else. So anyhow, I got their front row to see that debut. But so why tell me more about the Porsche debut. It's the 911.
It's the new 911. It's the 992. It's basically their, a lot of everyone will say, every 911 looks alike, but this is the latest iteration. It's bringing a lot of, the latest technologies to, the arguably the best sports car in the world. Hmm. That's a plug for Porsche, by the way, if you guys want to send me a car. sincerely, I mean, you look at it from a technology perspective versus the 991, there's a lot of world changes that we can get into, but same thing, digital clusters, changing up a lot of the interiors, CarPlay, Apple Play, stuff like that. A lot of things that are sort of becoming the norm in a lot of new vehicles.
One of the things I found interesting about Porsche was, let me actually ask you this. Do you know how many cars that Porsche has produced in the United States since they launched the 911, I think back in 63? Oh,
God. It's a huge number. Actually, one of my buddies who is like the Porsche Yoda would definitely know that number, but it's an insane amount.
It's over a million.
It's the most produced sports car ever, if I'm not mistaken.
That could be correct, but I know that, at least according to the Porsche press office there, they've produced over a million Porsches, and of the million Porsches they produce in the United States, two-thirds of those Porsches are still in existence today.
So German engineering.
Well, German engineering, Porsche engineering, whatever you want to call it, and then there's a further stat that most of those Porsches that are still in existence still reside in California, which is why they wanted to introduce this car.
Oh, makes a lot of sense.
In California. They also had some other interesting cars in the Porsche hall or the Petrie Hall.
Right.
What were some of your favorites over there?
Obviously, the GT2 Club Sport. That was another one for us enthusiasts, sort of just drooling over, waiting to see what's coming out. I mean, that's an ultra, ultra exclusive vehicle, but something.
Yeah, why is that ultra? Like, what differentiates a Club Sport versus the regular 911?
Track only. So you could drive it on the street. It's just not street legal, obviously. But a completely track focused, lightweight, high horsepower motorsport. Oriented/driven vehicle.
I was, when I walked through the Petrie Hall to view all the Porsches, again, this is the difference between me and you.
I'm not going to reach over and choke you. You're good.
Yeah. I mean, I literally walked past that car.
Right.
It obviously looked like a super car. It looked like a racing car. But to someone like myself, it just looked like any other Porsche. So I was not familiar with the fact that it was a Club Sport and some of the different elements about, what distinguishes a Club Sport versus just the regular 911. If anything, I thought some of the Panameras that they had over there were a little quite interesting. Especially, I actually find it interesting that Porsche is starting to do. Maybe not altogether, but Porsche has their Panamera. E-hybrid,
right?
And eventually they'll get to their electric car. I don't know Panamera is already an expensive car. All of a sudden you put this electric hybrid motor in there and it increases the cost by $15,000-$20,000. It's hard to justify.
No, absolutely. I think, but that's probably where the Taycan is going to come in, right? The Mission E, those are the ones that are really going to battle Tesla, the Model 3s, et cetera. So once that gets going, I think the segment for people that are enthusiasts, but don't necessarily want to spend north of 120 grand, may have an opportunity there.
So, what were some other things at the LA Auto Show that were that you saw that were notable?
We talked about the Porsche 992. Something sort of that I guess to break into a larger segment would be the Honda Passport. So I picked that one out specifically for you.
Thank you.
You had a passport, right, in high school?
No, I had an Isuzu Rodeo.
Which was the same as the Passport.
Was it really?
It was. Basically co-branded.
Okay.
But it was the same. It was the same thing.
Okay.
So I mean, but it actually looks really good. When I saw that, it's the release. I believe it's in February for that car. But it's a great looking car. Sits right in between the Pilot and the CRV, I believe.
Well, that was the thing. I don't know if I saw a CRV at the Honda booth, but when I saw the Passport, I did find that interesting because I mean. Almost to a certain extent, you know, I was at the Toyota press conference. So then I was like, well, is the Passport trying to rival? Yeah, the 4Runner then?
Honestly, it's in a really nice car or a nice truck, if you will. It fits a really nice, section of the market where, you know, people that necessarily, if you don't have a 4Runner, you're not in the 4Runner, it's a lot cheaper. You're looking 10 to 15 grand, I think. Still all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
And it looks good. It doesn't have that minivan look of the Pilot, if you will. It's somewhere in between. You've got what else is in that portion of the market? You've got the the Mazda CX-5, I believe. It's a good looking car. Good colors. They're really sort of pushing that towards the action adventure. You know, Eddie Bauer on steroids type. You know, group. So I think it'll do well.
Well, that Passport will be in some, I don't know if it'd be a serious competition, but one of the things that was also introduced at the show, and actually now this would be more of the of Automobility LA, was they had the Utility Vehicle of the Year that was sponsored by the North American Car Utility and Truck Association, or it was the North American Car Association. Or truck associate, one of those North American Car of the Year awards, and the three utility vehicles that were up for that are the finalists, in which the winner will be crowned in January at the North American Auto Show, is the Acura RDX, the Hyundai Kona, I don't even remember that car. And the Jaguar I-Pace. The Jaguar I-Pace, actually, I find to be the most interesting of those three cars that have been nominated because that is the electric car.
Absolutely. Co-signed. I actually sat in that car, checked it out at the auto show. There was a lot of us actually trying to get into the car and check it out.
What'd you think?
Good-looking car.
It is very good-looking car.
Jaguar design is, you know, up there. I can't get the taste of reliability out of my mouth when it comes to Jaguar, though. And the inside looks great. It actually had haptic feedback, I believe, on the touchscreen, which was cool. Carbon fiber on the wheels, which was interesting. You know, sort of go with that lightweight electric deal.
On the wheels.
Yeah. So it had like these little sections of the wheels that had carbon fiber on them.
Interesting.
Great car, looks good, but you know it's Jaguar, so there's always going to be that question of reliability, et cetera, especially coming electric, right?
Well, I think one of the things too that is quite funny. It's like especially when you go to these, like I can understand when the shows are open to the general public and you have all the I don't know what you want to call them models representatives of the manufacturer that are there. You know, I know my way around. I visited all the booths, and other than saying hi, I didn't really talk to anyone or, you know, need to ask for anyone's help. At the Jaguar booth, one of the ladies came up to me as I was looking at one of their touchscreen TVs playing around with the technology, and she proceeded to basically show me around this touchscreen. And I found it to be rude.
Don't show me what I know about already.
Well, because here, well,
the story
here,
of my life. No,
well, but here's the thing, right? Like the touchscreen, there was really nothing on there, right? It was one of those touchscreens that, like, the touchscreen wasn't interactive to show you how the infotainment system works in the car. It was more for advertisement. So it was like, you know, touch here to see the Bluetooth, and then it just gives you a description. Yeah, right. So then, like, as I'm playing around with it, she goes, oh, yeah, you know, here, let me help you out with this. And then I was like,
I'm out.
Okay, yeah, thank you. I don't know. I found myself actually not knowing the best way to just say, hey, I'm good.
Right.
You know, and so I don't, I mean, look, you visit multiple dealerships. I'm sure you get bombarded with salespeople.
It's sort of a game, or I'm sure you know that for, you know, yeah. For, you know, and that really goes back to the audience that's coming to the auto show, right? So if you're your average car person, or maybe you're not your average car person, but let's say you're just going to the auto show, for a lot of those people, you're just going to check things out, get free stuff, right? And sit in a bunch of cars and see what potentially you're going to buy maybe in the future, what have you. Then you got your, I guess, you know, your group of like me and my friends where it's like, you know, to be honest with you, we know what's there. We know what's coming out. We probably have, and not to sound, you know, I hope I'm not coming off that way, but we've got all the answers usually. If we're going to ask you a question, it's going to be very particular or very specific to, you know, a detail that we don't have or we couldn't find on the internet or what have you. So, you know, for the segment of, you know, of listeners that want to go just to experience a car show, LA Auto Show is great for that.
Well, that you hit on a really great point, which is, you know, in my eyes, it's like, look, as a car shopper these days, I'm going to be a bit whiny here. And that is, I'm tired of hearing car shoppers just using the methods of online shopping and then wanting to go into a dealership and then complaining about their experience at a dealership on how they were treated of when they were shopping, not buying, shopping, to which then it's like, well, look, go to the auto show. Go to the auto show and, like, you don't have to be hammered by salespeople who are trying to sell you a car right then and there. Like, the representatives are more helpful. Yes, the compromise is that there are going to be 10 other people looking at the car in the, you know, at the same time you are. But, hey, look, you have free rein. You can take a look at all the competitors to the initial car that you're interested in. You want to take a look at the Audi Q7? Well, then look at the
everything's
X5
right there
and the X7. You can look at everything. So get to the auto show, folks, and check out all the great things. Again, admission is very inexpensive. If anything, the biggest hassle is just parking.
Yeah.
So
actually, on my way in on Wednesday, the initial parking was closed. So that was sort of, if you want, you know, one of my bummers of the show itself was trying to find parking. And that was on media day, so I can't imagine trying to find parking on a normal day.
Well, I parked in the structure and paid an arm and a leg, so.
I ended up doing that, yeah. But it was literally the west structure that I had to go to. The normal one that I went to wasn't there, so.
All right, so.
It wasn't available.
So we've covered that one of the bigger disappointments was getting into the South Hall and looking at the Mercedes GTR. We switched up and walked all the way down to the Petrie Hall where Porsche was to look at the 911 and their Club Sport. What are some other? And then we talked about the Honda Passport, which the Honda Passport is in the West Hall. And so so you have three main halls, and really Porsche kind of has like this exclusivity. They're in the Petrie Hall and they have their own exclusive hall. But other than that, all the rest of the manufacturers are either in the West Hall, which is closest to the Petrie Hall, or you have the South Hall, which then you have a bulk of the manufacturers in there. So we looked at Honda Passport, the Porsche 911, the Mercedes GTR. What are some of the other cars that you liked over there?
Yeah, I'm sort of a spaz when it comes to these shows, right? Like when I go, I sort of know sort of what I'm looking for and what I want to hit. Opposite of what you did and maybe most people do is I'll go away from the actual launch times. So I know Porsche had planned to launch, I believe, like at 10 o'clock or 10:20. What I ended up doing was going away from that section because I know it was going
to
be a zoo.
Well,
I knew it was going to be a zoo. And sort of wanted to hit some of the littler manufacturers, some of the smaller manufacturers that weren't as busy at that time. So, you know, I equate South Hall, if this is your first time, South Hall is going to have at least, you know, in my opinion, you know, the higher end manufacturers, the stuff that, you know, that I'm interested in, what have you. West Hall is going to be more of the, you know, your Honda, Ford, you know, I don't want to say economy, I guess that does make it sound, you know, sort of snobby, but it's going to have sort of, you know, a different style of manufacturer, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Porsche has their own, which is always nice. Every year they're in the same, you know, portion of the convention center, which is very boutique, very Porsche, if you will.
Very boutique, right? Yeah, that's a good call. Yep.
And then the garage, which we were joking about. I was like, did you want me to talk about my garage? Or did you want to talk about, you know, the garage is the, I guess what you'll call the, not the basement, but the lower half of the convention center, which is actually aftermarket, which is my segment, which I, you know, I really, you know, usually enjoy. It's different than SEMA, for those of the people that know SEMA. But this is the closest aftermarket tuning section you'll get for the LA Auto Show.
So yeah, so you know, going downstairs into the garage area, you're going to find a lot of you'll find a lot of the aftermarket companies. You'll find a lot of the and probably just even. I mean, I would think that you just have a lot of enthusiasts who have partnered with these companies to have their car on display. Because I don't imagine like Allen Edds.
Allen Edds was there.
Yeah, well, I know they were there, but I don't imagine those are all their cars.
No.
I can see how like they, you know, like they did work on these cars with their VIP clients.
Right, right.
So yeah, like anything interesting in the garage there that would
the one thing that, you know, for any of the listeners, if you've got kids or you sort of want to go to a less, I guess a less formal area, the garage area is sort of good. There's music going on, there's a lot of more fun things. There's like a huge Hot Wheels diecast area, which obviously, you know, I wanted to go check out.
That's interesting. Yeah. For the kids. Is it free?
Yeah, it's free. Yeah. Well, Hot Wheels aren't free, but it's free. It's part of the show to get into.
Well, yeah, yeah. No, I know that part's free, but like in terms of the Hot Wheels diecast, did you have to pay for that? Or
no, that's a vendor.
Got it.
I believe that's doing that. But they've got a bunch of freebies down there because there's like insurance companies, et cetera. So it's a more relaxed portion of the show for people that just sort of want to go and check out, you know, some music, some stuff going on, a little more urban, if you will.
So the enthusiast side of me is one of the areas that I liked about the garage area are the commercial van, like, modifications. That's where you and I differ. Yeah. Like, I'm looking at...
So I'm out of here. It's 5:20. Still get home for dinner? No, I'm just kidding.
So it's like, you know, I'm looking at their Sprinter vans and whatnot. I'm like, oh, that's so rad. But anyhow. Okay, so... what were some of the other things that you liked at the show there?
So, you know, the show itself, you know, it's funny because you had mentioned, you know, you thought it was one of the better shows or one of the better auto shows, if you will, that you've been to. For me, it was okay. I don't know if that a little bit of that is the aftermarket or is the economy, you know, sort of. I don't want to get too deep into that, but it didn't, for a media day, it didn't seem quite as crazy as it usually is. Mm. You know, or maybe I came at the right time. But, you know, the Audi Q8. A lot of people are talking about that right now. One of my buddies actually just picked one of those up. You know, that's the Audi variant of the Lamborghini Urus, which is the first Lamborghini SUV. So the Q8 was a really nice car to see. Really sort of fits a good. If you want, it's going to be small. So we have a Q7. Right, so my wife and our family, we have a Q7. The Q8
that's car number 22, 23.
I don't include my wife's cars.
Okay,
those are just mine. But the Q8 is sort of their sporty SUV, you know, grown up SUV, if you will, for the parents, etc. So, a nice car, has a lot of the new technology. Again, everything is going touch screen, haptic feedback. 360 view, like legit 360 drone view, I believe they call it. It's not even bird's eye view, it's a drone view where you can literally spin with your fingers around the vehicle.
Oh,
it's really cool.
Oh,
I don't know if you had a chance to see that.
No, I haven't seen that.
I saw that in the Q8, then also in the Urus. It was actually the first time I saw it. It was really cool. Obviously, it's the same vehicle. Well, basically same vehicle.
Same chassis.
I don't know if it's the same chassis or same platform, if you will.
Probably platform.
But I know that a lot of technology and a lot of the instrumentation, et cetera, is going to carry over.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Q8 was one of my highlights. Something I wanted to see.
You know, on Audi's end of things. So I didn't.
Audi guy. On
well,
your side, right?
I'm a former Audi sales guy, but at this, you know, I'm an Audi enthusiast. Through and through. And to that end, last year as well as this year, I ran into again Scott Keogh, who is the president of Audi of America. And this time, as opposed to last year, when I saw him, I was literally like, oh, Mr. Keogh, can I get a picture with you? We took a picture and it was done. And he had his entourage with him, in which then like his entourage was almost like, who is that guy? And then this year, he was walking by himself. I forgot. I think I ran into him at the Alfa Romeo booth. And again, I spotted him. I'm like, hey, Mr. Keogh. And again, he looked at me and goes, hi. You know, I introduced myself. Hey, I'm Dennis Wiska. I ran into you last year. I worked at Audi, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, hey, it's nice to see you again. And
you got to get him on the podcast.
Well, I'd love to get him on the podcast. I mean, especially with a lot of things that are going on with Audi. I mean, so, but to that end, right, they had their launch in which they launched a concept car, the
Taycan 2.0.
Wait, say it again?
No. I mean, you know, VW Group owns everybody, basically. And if you look at what they were launching, the e-tron sedan, I'll call it the e-tron sedan. But I mean, it's basic to me, you know, you look at it, looks great and everything, but that's going to be same platform as Mission E / Taycan. Taycan, I believe is what Porsche is calling it.
Okay.
Electric sedan, yeah, you know, vehicle. Yeah, so, yeah. You know.
Well, I thought one of the more, yeah, so because like one of the confusing things about Audi right now is everything is being dubbed e-tron. So I'm kind of getting lost on what is actually e-tron and what's not.
Right, right.
So, you know, they have the e-tron that's like a four-door, and then their debut was the e-tron that's a coupe, and that was a concept car, but that thing still looked sick.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm an Audi guy, so okay. So the Q8 in the one of the nice things about that I liked about the Q8 too is it has that kind of sloping roof line, which is similar to that of the A7 and similar to the Mercedes.
Yeah, gives it a real like much sportier look. That I don't know if you want to call it fastback.
Yeah, that's
to
right.
me, you know, or, yeah, some will say shooting brake fastback type look. I think that gives it a, you know, makes it feel fast, look fast, if you will.
So what were some other things that you liked there?
2019 NSX.
Oh.
Well, see, so here's where the value proposition comes in. So the NSX for, I believe it was 2017, they were offering $30,000 to $40,000 discounts on that car.
The premium?
Not even off the premium, off the sticker.
Holy cow.
Because they couldn't get rid of them. Like literally. So it makes someone like me excited because it's like, well, great, the 2019's out. What's that going to do to the values of the 2017, 2018s? Mm. So, but great car. They did a bunch of refinement to it as far as the performance and handling, some new colors on it. But they also had the GT3 race car there next to it, which makes you know, obviously want one as well.
Yeah.
Then
that's a track car though, right?
The GT3, the race car, that's the carbon fiber one. I don't know if you saw that right next to the race car. Mm-hmm. So that would, I guess the GT3 you can consider the club sport, if you will, and then you've got the, you know, your basic NSX, if you want to call it
Wait,
that.
Wait, so on your future YouTube channel, will you have like a little race off, a little head-to-head action between that NSX and club sport?
That would be great, you know, if Acura wants to do something, we should definitely talk about that.
Down for that.
I could probably get a hold of an NSX. The GT3 itself would be sort of difficult to get a hold of. That's going to be a, you know, race homologation factory deal. Have you ever been out to the Honda factory, the Honda proving grounds in California City?
No, where the hell is California?
California City?
City
is in the middle of nowhere. But the sort of to go back to the NSX, I was invited by a friend to go out and do. And again, they were trying to sell NSXs basically. Uh-huh. So they invite you for the day. You got to drive NSX on their proving ground. It was really cool. And I'm assuming that's where they would have, you know, GT3 access, if you will, the same thing. But it's in the California City is like, I went out to Victorville and then it's like on the way to Vegas and then you make a left and you just keep driving into the middle of nowhere. It was literally off the nav. And then all of a sudden you see Honda Proving Ground, like a sign, and you're like, okay, I didn't get lost. I'm good to go.
Interesting. So, I had no idea that was out there.
Yeah,
I have to go visit that that area.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a private thing or what have you, but I mean, you can Google it and it's out there.
Oh, I'll find a way to get myself.
Yeah,
in
you absolutely. If you can do the NS, I think they called it the NS experience or the NSX experience. That was fun.
So I thought one of the more interesting things about this year's auto show too was kind of in the similar. Honda relaunching their Passport. I found that there was a couple other manufacturers that were also relaunching their vehicles. Ford is relaunching their Ranger.
Okay.
Chevy is relaunching their Blazer. So it was like it's like between a Ford Ranger, a Honda Passport, a Chevy Blazer. These are like these throwbacks to these manufacturers like relaunching these cars. Toyota has a interesting Prius coming out. It's an all-wheel drive Prius.
Yeah, that's that. You know, I used to own them. I think I used to own a Prius. Interesting. I mean, I don't know if that's for the market that's back east. I don't know, with the rain and the weather, because aside from today, the weather's always pretty decent down here. So I don't know how many Prius drivers are going to actually need the all-wheel drive.
I don't know. And I mean, two things about a Prius all-wheel drive is that, sure, I can see how on one end, it's not going to fit so much Southern California or California at that because of our weather. But the second thing, I don't recall a Toyota that has ever had an all-wheel drive.
That's a good point. So, short of like their four-wheel drive vehicles, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, so other than a four-wheel drive, right? So then this is all-wheel drive. So if anything, what wasn't discussed by the, president of Toyota Motor Corporation was how their all-wheel drive system works. So,
especially on a hybrid.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess I'd be curious on how the battery works with the drivetrain. I'm sure it probably works the same, but still, like, what is the distribution between what goes to the front versus the rear? It seemed as if per their animation, at some point, perhaps when you get to highway cruising speeds, that it's only front wheel drive and no longer all wheel drive. So again, like, this is where it wasn't clear on how that all wheel drive technology works. But I thought that was actually kind of interesting with Toyota. A couple other things with regards to some of the vehicles that are part of the North American. Okay, hold on. Let me get this right here, because for God's sakes,
Car of the Year.
Well, that's the website. So it's the North American, what is it, Car and Truck?
See, all these
North American Car and Truck of the Year. That's what it is.
Those are all paid for. You know that. You said, well, I could say anything I want.
Well, so. Look, you're not wrong, right? Like, there's, I'm sure the manufacturers are in bed with this organization. So the North American Car and Truck of the Year Awards. So they did announce some of the finalists. So again, we already covered the utility vehicle of the year, the Acura RDX, the Hyundai Kona, and the Jaguar I-Pace. Car of the year, or sedan of the year, is the Genesis G70.
Ooh, sorry.
Yeah, did you see that?
Sorry.
Yeah, the Genesis G70.
Not my thing.
Well, it's nice.
I have a friend that works for Hyundai, but it's still not my thing.
Well, it was a good looking car. I mean, obviously the Genesis is the Lexus or
Acura,
right. It's the luxury version of Hyundai. I haven't driven it, but I think that's the one thing that would probably seal the deal for me, because I think from a luxury standpoint, it does rival that of a Lexus or an Infiniti. It is Asian luxury. I know.
Okay.
I'm Asian. I can say
not
that.
Offended. Yeah. Not offended at all.
So another car of the year. So you have the Genesis G70. You have the Honda Insight. I actually found that to be interesting.
That was very interesting as far as the car of the year.
And then the Volvo S60 or V60, the wagon. So this actually brings up another point, so you didn't see the Volvo booth, or you at least passed it. You weren't there for the press conference.
No, I was not.
The Volvo press conference, I thought, was quite bold. So they did not have a car.
It's funny because I'm looking at this menu and I'm like, where was Volvo even at?
It's right next to Mercedes. It was right next. It's literally right next to Mercedes.
They usually have good coffee, to be honest. They usually have it, and they have a nice sitting area.
That's the only thing that they had this year. I mean, so at their press conference, I found this really, really, like, initially I was like, this is lame. This is lame. I can't believe, it was almost as if when they had, I don't remember who the speakers were, or at least what their titles were, what their position was within the company, but I'm sure they were high up there, right? It was almost as if with the hundreds of people that were there in attendance, that they were just, they were pulling a gimmick on all of us, like telling us, oh, we're here at the auto show not to showcase a car for you, but to showcase what the future is. And it's like, okay. And of course, they were spewing a lot of the same talking points, and that millennials will comprise most of buyers. You know, most of them are not interested in car ownership and blah, 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 blah. And they even had on their digital billboard even said that, don't buy our cars. And I'm just like, what are you guys doing? Right?
Trying to go viral marketing wise.
Well, So then on one hand, it's like, okay, so all you guys are shooting for is buzz marketing, right? because again, they had no cars there, which I don't know what the history is, of auto shows, but I'm certain this has to be.
Yeah, you don't pay that kind of money for a space, but you know, and to do that.
And that's the other thing, right? It's like automakers are starting to decrease on their budgets to not appear at all these auto shows all across the world because it's just a waste of money. But yet here's Volvo appearing at the LA Auto Show with no cars. Now, as their 20-minute press conference went on, there was definitely a moment that a light bulb went off in me. And I did actually start to find the genius in what they were doing, because they were really, they are really putting their money where their mouth is to embark on the new journey of what an automaker will eventually be, right? I think one of the things that I'm sure we'll probably get to talk about is Rivian, Byton, Nucleus, I think it was Icona, I think is the company, and the Nucleus is the model. So, you know, you're having a lot of these new automakers come into the market trying to rival that of Tesla. So you're having electric cars. But then it's all the technology now that's being invested into the car of what can this car do for you. So I think one of the analogies that I was able to describe based on what Volvo was telling us was that, like, you know, it's almost like they're no longer selling a car. They're selling a device.
Makes a lot of sense, especially with, you know, the connected world.
Right.
Right. I can see that happening, especially as everyone gets a little bit more techie.
Right.
Buy an iPhone, buy a car.
Well, but then, you know, they're furthering it with these things such as the Amazon in-key delivery, which, as I looked into that, I actually think that's pretty genius. Right. When you have deliveries, like, no longer do you have to have a package exposed. You can use the trunk of your car as a locker. So they're tying in with that. They have partnerships with Google and the Android operating system to tie in more of everything Android has to offer with a Volvo car. They're trying again. It's very bold of them. They're advertising more of their Care by Volvo, which is their subscription program, so that it's
that's coming up a lot now.
It is coming up a lot. You know, Porsche has one, BMW has one, Cadillac.
That was the first one I heard of, actually.
Well, they've discontinued it so that they can retool it. And this presents other challenges that we won't get into, but that being how manufacturers are starting to get in the game of selling direct to consumers now and obfuscating the dealership, which dealerships are more or less trying to fight back in that realm because, again, that just...
Sure, it's like the Tesla model, right?
You
go into the mall, there's a Tesla showroom there, you pick your car, it gets delivered.
And that's
that simple.
That's exactly the model. And Kia actually has something like that too. Kia has their shops in a mall now too to advertise the Stinger. Okay, so going back to the North American Car and Truck of the Year award. So for Car of the Year, again, Genesis G70, Honda Insight, Volvo S60. For the Truck of the Year, they had the Chevy Silverado 1500. The GMC Sierra 1500 and the Ram 1500. So all those cars are on display at the auto show.
And those are all new vehicles, correct? Because why wouldn't the Raptor be on there?
Well,
it's got to be a truck that's released within the year or new within the year?
No, I don't think so. Again,
Ford didn't pay enough to get one of their trucks on there?
Yeah, more than likely. More than likely. I mean, their stock is down pretty well now.
I'm not a huge truck guy, but yeah, if I were to buy a truck, it'd definitely be a Raptor or maybe one of the TRD Pros from Toyota.
Well, then Jeep actually launched their truck. Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Defender? That's a Range Rover.
Yeah, I don't remember what the name is of it.
The luxury part. No, I think I remember seeing it because it's got the open bed. It's a Jeep with an open bed truck type deal.
It almost looks like it.
The Gladiator. There you go.
The Gladiator. It almost can pass for a G-Class Mercedes G-Wagon, except cut off the back.
Where do you unplug this right now? Stop that. Stop it. We're boys, but you need to get off that, dude. I'm telling you right now.
All right.
It's almost like saying, you know, I look like Brad Pitt. You know, it's like, come on, dude. Completely opposite.
You almost do.
I'm Asian.
You're both old and haggard now, aren't you? Are you not? So a couple other things I thought was pretty interesting at the auto show. You know, I think one of the things, again, this is where we differ in terms of being enthusiasts, which is why it's great to hear some of the insight you have to offer about the cars themselves. But one thing I did different this year was I wasn't so much focused on the cars as I was trying to see the technology of some of these cars. So, and specifically, I was looking at, you know, where in the booth was the manufacturer talking about their infotainment systems or their connected vehicle systems? And, you know, Ford comes to mind, Nissan, Toyota has their Toyota Safety Sense, I think it's called. That's their suite of apps. They had the Chevy OnStar, which that has evolved.
It's been around for a while.
That's been around. Yeah. I think they were the first to go to market. And again, they also tie in with that Amazon in key delivery, and they also tie in with the Amazon Alexa. I'm not sure how that integration works out, but again, these are these partnerships that the automakers are starting to make with the tech companies.
Amazon owns the world, so that's actually, you know, that's a smart move.
Well, and I've talked about this before. I can't wait till the Echo Auto comes out and to see how that changes the driving experience for everybody. Volvo has, you know, they were advertising, again, some of their services. They had the in-car delivery. They had Volvo plus Google. They have their on-call service. So that's their kind of connected telematics program. So those were some of the interesting things with regards to mobility. Anything else on your end you thought was pretty good in the halls?
You know, we touched on, you'd mentioned Rivian. Is that how it's pronounced?
Yep.
The Rivian, I mean, that thing. It was pretty amazing. The booth was nice. The people there were very nice. You know, it's the, what would you call it? I would equate it to being the off-road Tesla / Range Rover.
Yep.
You know, full electric truck adventure type vehicles, something like 400 to 600 mile range. It's insane.
And it was insane. I don't think it's that much. I think it was closer to 400. I want to say it was like 384 or something. It was in the threes.
It was up there.
Yeah.
And then I know that they were talking about 2025 release. That might be too far away. But I mean, it was literally I sort of come from the tech world, if you will, and I love Apple. Mm. They were so refined as far as the quality of the stuff they're putting out, the technology, the branding, everything is just there. That's really... Short of, I'm sure no one's really heard of Rimac. Rimac is more of I consider the performance oriented. Actually, a portion of them is owned by Porsche now. So you'll see a lot of the Porsche technology for electric coming from Rimac. But short of Rimac, I think Rivian is going to be there.
Mm,
I think they have a building or associates out in Irvine, from what I had heard.
They're locally? I didn't know that they were.
I don't think they're local, but they have a, you know, a building or, you know, an office or what have you in Irvine. But yeah, that's, you know, something very interesting to me as far as, you know, what they're going to produce and what the future looks like. I mean, it's either that or they're just really good at branding.
I mean, certainly, you know, them hopefully or their intention of owning the truck electric space is definitely going to be a first. I mean, I think one of the interesting paradigms is when you have an automaker trying to come in and essentially just provide an electric car, and it's almost really hard for that automaker, a traditional automaker, to own that space, right? And again, let's compare Lexus, right? So like, no matter if you have Audi coming in introducing this e-tron, like Tesla already owns the space with the Model 3. And so even with trucks, I forget which other manufacturer will be bringing their electric truck to market. But again, Rivian, the fact that they're an electric automaker by default, that already puts them ahead of the game and allows them to own that space. You know, another electric automaker, which they weren't in the South Hall or the West Hall, or definitely not the Petrie Hall.
Right.
They were in the... in the tech pavilion was Byton.
Oh, okay.
And Byton's an electric car company, and they have a dash that's pretty impressive. You know, I would say it probably is the most impressive dash in the market right now. Kind of, not only is it full digital, but it's a huge, huge screen. And And this is starting to get to this whole idea, which actually I'm going to ask you here in a second, because especially you as an enthusiast, like this is your counterculture may have to go to Mars to, you know, survive. But you're having a lot of these automakers, right, turn these cars into these modes of transportation where it's not so much relevant. I mean, of course, you'll probably have a driver, but now it's just about the experience of like watching things, of working in your car.
Right, right.
So how does that make you feel?
You know, that's, I think, sort of where I'm, you know, I feel like I'm a hybrid. When I say that, it means, you know, I've had an i8, and when everyone asks me, oh, Albert, what do you think of the i8? You know, what do you think of that car? And I'm like, well, it was like driving an iPhone. You know, you know, like you say, you know, the counterculture, the gearhead, the, you know, you don't smell the fuel, et cetera, you know, all that stuff. That's the exact opposite of that. But it's still cool in its own right. And I find that cool, you know, as a tech nerd guy, I still think that kind of stuff is cool. But the same token, I completely appreciate driving a manual through the canyons with the windows down, you know, having that visceral feel of mechanical, you know, functioning versus having the vehicle drive for me. But then again, if I'm commuting, you know, to SpaceX, you know, on the 405 in traffic, I'd rather have autonomous drive so I can be doing other stuff.
Yeah,
and
totally.
That's not where I'm going to get my thrills anyways, you know, driving,
yeah, right,
you know, commuting
right
to and from work fuel.
So, you know what, the other kind of booth I kind of found interesting was Mini.
Okay.
And specifically because Mini doesn't have any tech in there.
You're right. Yeah, no.
It's
very, very sort of back to the roots. I mean, that's
totally.
What is their quote? Fun something.
I don't know.
Fun. But I mean, they're very fundamental, basic driving.
Yeah.
Even though they're front wheel drive type company.
So yeah, I found that interesting. I mean, again, obviously they were next to BMW. I was picking in a lot of the Minis, and I kind of knew that already that, you know, Minis didn't have a whole lot of tech. But I just thought, okay, let's look at the evolution. And no, they're kind of sticking to their guns of like, okay, let's keep this as a driver's kind of car.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like the look of the new Mini. I saw that somewhere. There were a bunch of internet memes compared to, you know, the original look of the Mini versus the newer sort of, I don't know, more futuristic Mini that we're seeing out there.
All right, let's put you, let's do some rapid fire questions here for
okay.
you, okay? You ready for it?
Yep.
So the first thing
I'm not going to look. I'll just look at you.
There you go.
Okay.
I can see
him on the screen.
This is a beautiful face right here that you're looking at. So the first thing that comes to mind, okay? So whatever is the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Unfiltered. Here we go. What's the fastest you've driven in a car?
Would have to be on the Autobahn in Germany.
And how fast?
It was in kilometers. What I can tell you is it was the fastest I've ever driven for the longest period of time. We literally came from, and I'm sure one of my buddies that was on the trip would know exactly, but basically we drove from, I want to say it was Austria to Italy, and
oh, that's
it was
a long drive.
And we were in like a 328 diesel station wagon BMW. But I want to say that I was probably averaging in the, I don't know, 100 mile per hour range, 110 for a good, I don't know, 3 hours, 4 hours, something crazy.
Thank
like
God
that.
For the Autobahn. Okay. What's the most dangerous drive you've been on?
Nürburgring in the wet. Nürburgring in the wet.
In the wet.
On the
Got
same
it.
Trip, yeah.
Okay.
A little sketched because everything was on my credit card. So that was, yeah.
I'm sure all your buddies love that.
Yeah.
Best scenic route.
That's a tough one. I'm just going to keep going back to my European trip. I mean, going through Austria in the snow was amazing. Like, you know, your typical, I don't know if it was the Alps per se that we saw, but, you know, just beautiful, amazing drive, you know, roads and weather.
Coolest car technology.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go with, well, the first thing that comes to mind would be I'm an Apple guy, so CarPlay.
CarPlay. Best front end design.
Can I go back to something?
Yep.
I'll go Carrera GT. I don't know why.
Just in general, Carrera GT.
F40. I don't
or
know.
Specific.
Yeah, I mean, one of my designer friends or one of the designer guys could be more specific. But if I'm just looking at the front end of vehicles and I'm sort of just throwing them through my mind right now, Ferrari F40, Acura NSX, Carrera GT.
Okay.
I'm going to want to change that later.
Worst front end design.
Worst front end design. The new BMW X7. That thing is terrible.
Yeah?
I'm a non-BMW guy now. And I used to remember my hashtag was like BMW boy back in the day. But no, I'll never own a BMW ever again.
That X7 it was chunky.
It has a chunky front end. I can't deal with like the giant kidney grills.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
Yeah, I'm just not really feeling BMW. So okay. They can take it in the neck.
Worst exotic color combination.
It's got to be like... worse. Anything that has like retro 90s, so like, you know, white and purple, or I've seen there's a guy, he's the mattress king. I forgot his name. It's not Fuchs. Oh, it's Michael Fuchs.
Okay.
So, it's funny. His Instagram handle is like Fuchs with me or something like that. He's an old dude, but he has some crazy ass cars, and all the cars are just like the most insane color combinations ever because he can. Yeah. So it has like, you know, ostrich interior with feathers on the outside, like just random ass
that stuff. FU money.
Yeah, pretty much.
Best exhaust note.
Oh, Credity. Hmm. Credity stock.
Stock?
Stock Credity. Because a lot of people like to do the aftermarket exhaust on it, which makes it louder, but you lose that F1 pitch. The F1 pitch, I mean, it's going to be that, and this will go with anybody who's an enthusiast that's listening. It's going to either be Credity or the Lexus LFA.
Interesting. Okay.
Tuned by Yamaha.
What is the easiest performance modification?
To install?
Yes.
Air filter.
Okay. What is the most...
What you said you couldn't... Yeah. You'd have a hard time. Yeah. Air filter.
Exactly, yeah. What is the most overrated car?
I'm just going to go with the one that I hate, the Ford Mustang.
Most overrated SUV?
BMW X5.
Most overrated exotic?
I don't want to lose any of my friends. overrated exotic. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Ferrari. Anything Ferrari.
Anything Ferrari. Anything Ferrari. You just lost some of your Ferrari friends.
Yeah, that's all right.
Most underrated car?
McLaren.
That would be exotic.
No, sorry. Most underrated car in general?
Yes.
That's a tough one. Most underrated you got me on that one. I don't know.
Most underrated SUV?
Underrated SUV. Audi and the Q7.
Q7.
I wasn't a fan or wasn't really into it, but that's a really good car.
And you have the latest generation of the Q7. So you said most underrated exotic is the McLaren. Any
McLaren.
Any McLaren.
Yeah.
Heel toe or high heels?
Depends.
Good answer. I was
trying to save that one on both ends.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I was wondering how you can answer that one there. Next bucket list item for a car junkie.
Next bucket list for any car junkie?
Sure.
I guess owning your first exotic. I think that's got to be it.
Okay.
For me, next bucket list item, that's a tough one. I don't know. I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, Albert, anything else from on your end?
No, I appreciate it. Had a good time. I hope all the listeners had a good time as well.
Yeah. Listen, thank you for sharing again. Like,
did we get enough of the LA Auto Show?
I know. All right. No, I think we got a lot of stuff in there. Here's the thing. Like, even if you go, it's hard to get in everything that the auto show has to offer. I mean, it's work.
It's literally the last year we went for my birthday, which is Sunday, by the way, if you want to buy me anything.
Okay, good looking.
But we went. I ended up going to the auto show like three times or twice, and every time we went, I saw something new, and I don't even really nitpick at every little thing, so. You know, for anyone that's looking to go to the auto show, there's definitely a lot out there to check out.
Well, it's certainly the best auto show. I mean, I haven't been to the North American Auto Show in Detroit, but certainly I think it's one of the best auto shows in California, in Southern California. So listeners, again, be sure you check it out November 30th to December 9th, LAAutoShow.com. Again, especially if you're in the car, if you're in the market for a car and you're looking to get one before the end of the year, knowing that a lot of dealerships are going to be extremely busy, you can do yourself a favor by going to LA Auto Show and doing shopping yourself. Bring your stroller to the LA Auto Show. There'll be lots of people doing that. Fold up your stroller, put it in the trunk of the car, do whatever you want. Beat up those cars. Don't ask for a discount on those cars because they don't sell those cars.
Yeah, are you sure they don't? I always worry about that.
I'm certain they don't.
Okay.
So, listeners, thanks for tuning into this episode of Wisco Weekly. We have a few more episodes remaining for this year, and then we will start up again next year in 2019. As we end every episode, cheers, prost, l'chaim, kipis, nastravi, salud, kampai, mabruk, tutsins, gambai, yamas, to the customer experience.